We're in Psalm 100. Just to say something, you know, that the song that we just sang, is this a psalm of thanksgiving? It says here in the New King James, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. And it came, and the first place I ever saw that was in Psalm 66, which it's the same first line of Psalm 66. And as the translation of the Bible that Bridget and I had at the time when we were very first saved was an NIV Bible. And you know, we had just, we just got saved. We went and found a Bible teaching church. And after our very first or second Sunday, I can't remember what it was anymore. It was right around there, first or second Sunday. I thought, where do they get these songs that they sing? These aren't real songs. They're just these short little songs. And we came home from church. I was definitely not the first Sunday now. I remember that. Yeah, it was shortly after. And came home from church on Sunday, and we thought, you know what? There are people who write these songs. And so we're going to write some songs. And we began digging through the Psalms without any real knowledge of the scriptures or anything, and you know, with my guitar and started playing and singing, and three songs came out that afternoon, and that was one of them that we just did, and I kind of wanted to make it sound like, you know, one of those songs they were singing, you know, that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns, you know. And so we did that. But as I'm singing that, I just thought, wow, you know, I was, you know, all of 4 months old in the Lord, 3 months old in the Lord. And, you know, we got it. And what I mean by we got it was we understood even the first line, you know, shout with joy to God, all the earth. It's like, how could you not? After coming to grips with what God has done, how can you not just want to sing to Him? And anyway, so that song is 28 years old, 27. That's an old song. So yeah, we do a lot of old songs around here. So, let's do this. I was just kind of rolled right into it and I didn't pray. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for bringing us here and thank you for changing lives. Thank you for bringing us to that point where we see you and we understand that you love us, to understand that you have put us in the places you put us. You've, you know, gave us our pre-appointed times and that one day knowing we would grope for you. And we praise you that you are not far from us. We thank you that you're here in our presence now and that we are in your presence. What better place could there possibly be? And so, Lord, tonight we want to give you thanks. We want to give you thanks for everything. So, Lord, teach us what that is as we just look at these few verses and then as we praise your name in song. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it says right here, the heading, a psalm of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is obviously commanded throughout the scriptures that we would always thank God. Not just for feeding us, not just for the cross, and not just for all of the things that we like so much, but even to thank God for the most difficult things in our lives because God is doing something beautiful in us through the difficulty. I had a conversation this afternoon with a young man who, we sometimes, you know, struggle a little bit. And so I was sharing with him, you know, that... Well, I was sharing with him some things that went on in my head years ago and continue to go on in my head periodically and some of the difficulties that I deal with, you know, and it was amazing as I was sharing with him about this, I was suddenly overwhelmed, overcome by the grace of God just falling all over me. What I mean is that I told him, you know, many of you know this anyway. It's just, you know, this whole anxiety issue with me that has been going on since the age of 9, right? And just to let you all know, this morning before church, I was blessed with a mild panic attack. And I was kind of losing it a little bit this morning. And I was sharing with him about all of this. And how the time that we were saved, that Bridget and I got saved, it was in the midst of a panic attack. Because it was in that panic attack that I cried out to God. Now, I would not recommend crying out the way I cried out. But I began basically cursing God for making me the way I am. I think he did it really, at the time, I thought he was doing a pretty lousy job. And it wasn't fair to me to give me a life like this. And of course, as many of you know the story, then Jesus opened my eyes. And I became a different person on that spot. And my thought was that he would take away the anxiety and the panic attacks. And I learned about 4 months later that he didn't. And here I am 28 years later, still kind of dealing with some of those issues. And as I was telling this story to him, I said, you know, I've asked the Lord over and over again to remove it from me. And he says the same thing to me that he said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And as I told that story, even as I said, my grace is sufficient for you, I was like blown away by his love for me, how awesome it is what he does. And you know, in all of this, that he trying to explain this. In all of this difficulty of what, you know, happens to me physiologically, how the hamsters roll in my head often in two different directions and different speeds, the Lord says the same thing he says to Paul. And that my strength is made perfect in weakness. And at that moment I was talking with my friend. It was like, even for a fleeting moment, I understood what Paul said, I rejoice in my infirmities. I rejoice in my weakness. Some of you have weakness. Ha ha. All right. All of you have weakness. It's different for everybody else. I mean, everybody's got something, you know, whether it's a physical thing, you know. We don't know what Paul's thorn was. We have no idea. I think he was speaking figuratively. And that, I don't think he really had a thorn in there. You ever get a splinter and can't get the darn thing out, you know. But I think he was speaking figuratively, and it was just something that was a continual constant irritant to him. And I think the Lord leaves many of us with something that's difficult that we have to carry with us, where we are actually... where we are actually arguing with God, trying to explain to Him that, you know, I would serve you better if I didn't have to carry this around with me. And the Lord just grins. You know, He just has nothing to say to that. Because God knows better. And I will tell you, as I think about what God has given me, the biggest thing is salvation. He's given me the kingdom. Think about that for a second. He's given us the kingdom. I think about what God has given me. And think about what God has given me in regard to this planet in this short time we're all here, allowing me to be a pastor, allowing me to teach the scriptures. You don't know what an awesome honor and pleasure this is to me. But giving me the musical gifts that He has, He's given me an awful lot. And and I thank God for the thorn that He has given me. Why do I share all that? Well, probably because I was kind of dealing with it today. But secondly, it goes with this, you know, Psalm of Thanksgiving. I don't care what it is, thank God. I don't care what it is, thank God. Always thank God for the difficulty. Why? Because He loves you. He's working in you. You know, there's the dentist giving you the root canal. Thank the dentist. Right? He is digging through your teeth in order to get that infection out of there so that you don't have to be in pain anymore. And He does it through, you know, a drill bit that long, then that a drill bit that long. And you're saying, why do I have to be in this? But the dentist knows what he's doing and he's fixing that tooth. And so it is with you and me as God is working in us through every difficulty, every pain, even when the enemy is the one that is doing the beating on us, as we read in Job, that God had a purpose in that. And so we can thank God and be thankful people all the time. But anyway, God just poured His grace out all over me this afternoon. It's good to know God, isn't it? It's good to know Him. Oh, man. Well, then you may as well make a joyful shout to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord with... Oh, by the way, this joyful shout, it could be a joyful noise, or it's a word that means like a really loud noise. And it could be done either with a voice or with instruments or with something. Just make a noise, you know. And the thing is, why should I make a joyful noise? And why should all the lands make a joyful noise? By the way, I believe that the psalmist was looking toward the future in the fact that the church would be made up of all the Gentiles, and that it was all the lands. It was not just Israel, but here the psalmist, a Jew, is saying, all the lands, make a joyful noise. And we have every reason in the world to make that joyful noise. And if we go on, look at this, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. When we come before the Lord, knowing that we are in His presence anyway, all the time, everywhere, but for Israel, it was about coming to the temple because that's where the presence of God was for them. And so when they would approach, even as they would approach, they would do the songs of ascent where they would go and have a few steps up the steps, and they'd stop at certain parts, and then they would sing another song. And then they would come up some more and sing some more. Because why? They're going to go into the presence of God. Now, you and I sing, well, sometimes we sing only when we feel like it. And sometimes we just don't feel like it. But in James chapter 5, verse 13, if anyone is sad, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. And just like, you know, when you're a happy guy, you're just like singing away. And so the point being is that when you are coming before God Almighty, what is it that you have to be sad about? As we consider the very presence of God, as it reads in Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so when we approach God, when we just go ahead and say, I'm stopping, I'm coming, I'll tell you what, I'm going to church, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to think about God. Now, even though he was in the car with you, even though he's everywhere, and we know that this is a bowling alley. It's, we would call it the house of God in the sense that this is, you know, it's designated for worship, and it's designated for us to stop everything and worship him. But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know that. But now when we come together, though, and we're saying, hey, we're two or more gathered in his presence, he's surely there in their midst, in agreement with them. And so here we are now saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to pay attention to you. Now, I can be in my wife's presence in the living room, and it's way different sometimes. Sometimes I'm paying attention to her, and sometimes I am not. That's the way we are with God. All right, he's always there, and sometimes we pay attention and sometimes we don't. Well, when we purpose to pay attention to the Lord, suddenly we've got to realize something. That's where all the joy is, as we rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, is Philippians 4:4, right? We rejoice in the Lord. It's the happy place. It's that place where we realize that no matter what is happening in our lives, that God is good and he loves you and you're covered. And so we approach with singing. We come to him with singing. Notice the first part of verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. I think the NIV says worship the Lord with gladness, but the word in the Hebrew is actually work. So you're doing something for the Lord, though it is a part of worship, you know. Serving the Lord. But I think that we could probably spend 45 days on the first part of verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, how could you spend 45 days on that? Hey, all you got to do is talk about Mary and Martha, right? Luke chapter 10. Martha served, but she did not serve with gladness. You and I, when we serve the Lord, we are called to do it with gladness. And if we're serving him and it is a chore and it is not with gladness, we need to take a step back and reassess. As Jesus was there at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and there was Mary just sitting at his feet, listening to him. And Martha was in the kitchen banging the pots and pans. And nobody heard her, so she banged him louder. And then finally, Martha comes storming out, complaining about her sister. And Jesus busted Martha. He said, oh, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff, but Mary's chosen the good thing. Nothing wrong with serving. In fact, we're called to serve. We find later in the scriptures that Martha continued to serve the Lord. But this time she had done it with a better heart. So if you are serving in any capacity, but in that service you find yourself complaining about others who do not serve, you find yourself complaining over, well, even just the task that is set before you, well, you know, it's time to take a step back. It's not a time, though, to just say, well, forget it, I'll never serve then because I can't do it with gladness. No, no. It's time to go to the Lord and say, Lord, why am I not glad to do this after the way you have served me and the fact that your word commands us to serve you? Now, we're not talking about official service in the church, though that is a part of it, but just any service that the Lord would have us do. Any service. And that's something that we need to be looking out for, a way to serve somebody. And so, I love these little waters. Thank you, Mark. They're not, you know, because I always drink about half a water, and so I'll drink the whole one of these. And they're cute, right? They're cute. And we can thank the Lord for this. Amen. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Beautiful verse. First of all, that harsh reality of the fact that the Lord, that is Jehovah, His name Jehovah, is God, Elohim. He is the supreme God. And so that's that. We know that. And with that knowledge comes the knowledge of the fact that He is the one who created us. He made us, and He's the one who even remakes us. And we didn't do it ourselves. We've heard that term, self-made man. Well, I'm a self-made man. You know, I did the bootstrap thing. What is that? How does that phrase go? Pulled myself up by my bootstraps or something like that? I'd like to see somebody do that. I'm not real sure what that means. But I did it all. I did this, and I, you know, pat myself on the back. I was looking at some property that that a man I knew owned, and we're walking this property, and it was amazing. It was just beautiful. And I just said, wow, isn't this amazing how God has blessed you and given this to you? And he got upset. He said, whoa, I worked for this. You don't know what I put in to get this. Oh, my goodness. I said, my goodness, it's getting late. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 8 where God tells the Israelites, saying, hey, look, don't forget that I'm the one that got you through all of this. And you might say that, you know, because I'm going to give you these houses, you know, I'm going to give you these places. And you might say, well, we used our strength to build these houses, so we do deserve some credit. And God says, who gave you the strength? So don't forget, in anything that you and I do, it is only by the grace of God that he gave us the strength to do it. And we never have any reason to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you are really awesome. You did a great thing. We have no business doing that. Ever. It is always God. It is always God. Every victory in our lives is only by the grace of God. And he formed us from the dust of the earth. He formed us out of dirt. We're dirt. And he put it all together, and he created all this machine in there that all works together to keep us moving and alive. And gave us a brain. He made it all out of dirt. And then we have the audacity to say, well, I did this for myself and I did that for myself. I am so embarrassed by atheists. They just embarrass me. And not only did he make us, and not only does he remake us, he says, we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, He not only made us, He watches out over us. And He loves us as a shepherd loves the sheep. And that's why it was so important that David was a shepherd. It was so important. As he would watch the sheep and relate everything to the Lord watching us. Because the sheep couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't take care of themselves. Sheep need a shepherd. The shepherd needs to take care of their injuries and make sure to bring them to the right place to eat. Make sure that they're not in the wrong field eating the wrong stuff. The shepherd needs to bring them by the still waters so that they'll drink because sheep are skittish. And as you well know, that we are referred to as the sheep of His pasture. With that said, anybody who understands sheep, and I don't really understand sheep, by the way. I've only read about sheep, all right? But to see that we are compared to sheep is not a compliment. Sheep are not the brightest creatures. And so what this tells us is that we need to understand that not only did we not make ourselves, nor did we make ourselves successful, but we need someone to take care of us. We need God who created us to take care of us. And as Jesus says in John, I am the good shepherd. He gives His life for the sheep. He lays down His life to save us. And so, it's a wonderful thing if you ever want to know why you should thank God. Well, He created you. And I know sometimes y'all get like Job. I've been like Job as well, where he says, I wish God never made me in the first place. Why did He have to do that? You know, can you imagine never having had a life? Well, of course you can't, because that doesn't make sense. Think about that. It's like, wait, what would that be like to not exist? But tough, you do. Now you have this brain and where you're thinking, and sometimes you say, but why did God make me? It doesn't make sense to me. Well, obviously He made you for a purpose, to love you, to give honor to Him, to glorify Him, to bless others. And we thank Him that He made us, and we thank Him that He cares for us. Always thanking God. By the way, as we learn from Psalm 23, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. Understand that with this business of us being the sheep and He being the shepherd, that in the, you know, in the fields, and again, I don't know this, I've never been a shepherd, but in the fields, that the shepherd would lead them to the best place he possibly could for them to feed well and all that. But he goes and he actually, you know, cuts down some things around there and kind of prepares all of this and prepares a spot for the sheep in the presence of my enemies, in that there are predators out there even watching the shepherd. But you know, the good shepherd, well, he'll do it like David did. He'll take out a lion, he'll take out a bear, he'll take out anything that would ever come in to try to get the sheep. And the fact is this, God Almighty, our shepherd, is preparing a table for us right now in the presence of our enemies. Because when we start all of the glory in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, it begins with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there we are going to be at a table, and God has been preparing that table for you and me in the presence of Satan himself. And Satan can't do a thing about it. It's awesome. It's the days when we used to have those mangy dogs. And we would be setting the table. I'm telling you, the dogs would just watch.
Watch it go by. Watch it go by. Watch it go by. And then it comes time to eat. The dog smells the food. Dog's looking all around. Dog's going crazy. And then you open the door and say, get out of here. And so it is. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. How wonderful. So we are the sheep of his pasture. And he's preparing that table for us even now. Okay, let's see. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. To bless, actually, the Hebrew word means to pray, to kneel, to thank. It's all the same thing. Different ways to say the same thing as in his presence, fullness of joy. And so as they would approach the temple, hey, thank God. Thank you, Lord. It is a wonderful thing to do, by the way, to begin all prayer with thanksgiving. Sometimes in a panic, you might just go right onto your laundry list without even thanking him for anything. Sometimes, you know, we're just, oh God, please help, oh please, you know. But it's a good idea to enter his gates with thanksgiving. First thing you say to him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You might feel like a complainer today. Maybe you are a complainer today. But God has called you to thank him, not to complain about these little things that we have to endure. Back to thanking him for everything. Thank him for your anxiety. Thank him for your pain. Because he is doing something incredible in you. And you know, we're not going to really know it until we're face to face with our Savior. We're going to see it. We're going to get it. We're going to understand it all. That'll be one of the fun things about heaven. Right? I mean, because I believe we're just going to know it all, you know? We're going to see it. We're going to look. It's like, oh, no wonder. No wonder that happened. No wonder that happened. We're so short-sighted. We think that we go through a bad time because it means we're going to get a really cool car next month. You know, God's a little better than that, gang. Because what he's doing in us is eternal. And so we thank him when we come and be thankful to him, enter his courts with praise, praise him, that is, tell him how wonderful he is. And he is wonderful, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. How wonderful that is. His mercies are new every morning, right? You were a real creep yesterday or something. You wake up in the morning and the Lord sees you. Perfect. Perfect. Clean. Pure. And his mercy speaks of compassion as well. He sees your situation. And he's got his arm around you. And his truth endures to all generations. Well, so much for all of this liberal theology, huh? I think the Bible's pretty clear that truth is truth, and same truth 500 years ago is the same truth today. Truth is truth. It doesn't change. And so all of this relative truth and stuff. No, God's truth endures to all generations. I believe, sorry, I didn't look it up, so I can't be completely sure, but I believe the word all in the Hebrew means all. So, all generations forevermore until all of this is done. His truth is the truth, and it doesn't change no matter how we feel about it, no matter what we want to make of it, no matter what we want to do with our lives. His word is true, and he is true. We're going to worship the Lord for a time. We're going to thank Him in song. We're going to praise Him in song. And may this be a time of intimacy with Him. Singing because we are in His presence. And when you're in God's presence, you're in the right place, the good place. Only so that we can understand it on our terms. You ever just have a friend or a family member that, you know, every time you see them, you know two things. That person loves you unconditionally. And secondly, you feel safe. Like, oh, I'm going to be okay now. There's a few people like that in my life. Where every time I see them, I feel like everything's okay. I'm going to be all right. Well, how wonderful to be in God's presence. Because God is like that friend, except better. He's without fault. And He's with us now. Father, thank You so much for Your presence. And I thank You that You never let us go. And in all of our insecurities and all of our weakness, You are strong. And we thank You and we praise You because You are making something of us. We thank You and praise You because, Lord, You are setting a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And so, God, may You help us even now to be thinking of the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, praiseworthy, and that we would see You from our hearts and know that we are covered by Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.